The second thing that we want you to do, and this is probably the most important, is stay curious during the attack or when you are attacked. When the attack starts, first of all, you only have to stay in your seat. You only have to hold on, unless you're dealing with a sociopath, 45 seconds to a minute. And you're going to sit there with dynamic silence and let the air out of the balloon. Unless you're dealing with someone who is suffering from mental illness, they're not going to be able to sustain an attack against you if you're not fighting back. And so as I'm using dynamic silence, I'm asking myself, what would cause her to say that or do that? Number one, from their perspective, you're not listening. What are you missing? From their perspective, they've been trying to convey something to you, whether they verbalized it or not, hoping that you pick up on it, and you have not picked up on it. And they're the equivalent of that 3-4-year-old child who is tugging at your pant leg while you're trying to do something else because they want another cookie or they want to do this or that. And you're ignoring that 3 or 4-year-old child. And what does that 3 or 4-year-old child do eventually? They flip out, dive to the floor, roll over on their back, and start kicking their feet. That's tantamount to an attack during a tough conversation. So ask yourself, what am I missing? The second place that the attack comes from is they are under tremendous pressure on their side of the table, and you have failed to acknowledge it. I can't tell you how many log jams and impasses have been cleared, how many attacks have been dissipated when the people that I am coaching say to their counterpart, you know, it sounds like the people on your side are making your life extremely difficult. It feels like they expect you to bring this in well under budget. It seems like you're in a fishbowl right now and everybody is scrutinizing your performance, which is causing undeniable pressure on you. The third place that the attack comes from is you are being manipulated. They are trying to put pressure on you because they know that an attack is going to make George uncomfortable. And my track record shows me that if I make people uncomfortable in these conversations, they start to acquiesce. They start to concede things that they shouldn't be conceding because they want that comfort level restored. They don't want you mad at them. So George doesn't want me mad at him. And so George is starting to give away stuff that he shouldn't be giving away instead of addressing the issue. So again, to repeat, the attack is coming from three places. Curiosity allows me to focus in on which one it might be. You're not listening. They're under tremendous pressure and you haven't recognized it, or they're trying to manipulate you. It doesn't matter which of the three it is. Again, you have to stay in the moment to determine which one it is. Sandy, anything you want to add to that before I move on?
No, I think you've set us up nicely.
George, Marcella, anything?
No, I think you're well-rounded.
All right. Now, the attacks continue. And there comes time during the conversation where you need to confront this person about the attacks. I'm specifically talking about the manipulators here because I'm confident that the minute that you fall on your sword and you tell the other side that you are, it seems like I'm failing to be sensitive to something that's really important to you, or the minute that I say that it seems like you're under a lot of pressure to bring this in just right, that usually is enough. But the manipulator, they're not gonna back off from it. So at some point, you may need to confront the manipulator about his or her continued unproductive, counterproductive behavior. And one of the best ways to do that, to allow them to save face, to allow you to point out the counterproductive behavior without sounding like you're accusing them, is with the I message. To identify what the problem is without placing blame, and to focus them on what they stand to lose if their behavior doesn't change. The typical I message, when it was first developed way back when, was structured, I feel, when, you, because. And we want to focus, at the Black Swan Group, we want it to focus on the other side. We want it to make it unequivocal that this is coming from you. So we inverted the wording, and we use the structure, when, you, I feel, because. And then it evolved even further, because we wanted whatever came after the because to focus them on what they stand to lose if they don't cease the behavior. The old way was, when you continue to do X, I feel Y, because it's insulting, right? And we had time and time again, people come back to us and say, yeah, I used that I message the way you guys structured it. And the guy said, and when I said, I feel insulted, the guy said, so I don't care. Cause he didn't have anything to lose. So we said, how can we fix that to make it more effective? And that is using the setup to focus them on what they stand to lose if they do not stop what they're doing. Now, notice the words that I used: persistent, unproductive behavior. The first time somebody yells at me during a conversation, I'm not going to hit them with an I message. But if it happens multiple times where it's disrupting the flow of productive dialogue, then you have to say something. Your failure to address counterproductive behavior when it rears its head impedes your ability to influence. But it's got to be used sparingly. This is a very, very assertive move. When, you, I feel, because. Great for threats, demands, ultimatums. You know, when you continually throw out ultimatums, I feel backed into a corner, because you're limiting the options we have in moving forward.